Our Father, we feel so needy of your help in this very serious subject. We don't want to be too lengthy, and yet we don't want to be too low or short. So please help us. I pray that you'd help us all to think about these three things. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Understanding and knowledge. We find it mentioned in the scriptures several times. It's a very important thing. So bless our efforts, Lord. Anoint our hearts, each one of us, in giving it out and receiving it. Help our young people to think about these three things and to seek for them earnestly in their life. And help us all. In Jesus' precious name, we humbly pray. Amen. We want to turn first to Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. We need to seek for wisdom. We need to seek for understanding. We need to search and long for knowledge, true knowledge. The knowledge of God. The right knowledge. Not the knowledge of the world, the wisdom of the world, but the knowledge and the wisdom of God. I want you to go with me now to the second chapter of Proverbs. Start at the first verse. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine heart, thine ear, unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Receive my words and hide my commandments with thee in your heart and your mind. Think them over. Ponder them. Study them. And then it says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know, if you and I will seek for wisdom, true wisdom, which is godly fear and reverence, belief and obedience to God. If we will do that with all of our heart and search for it and pray for it and seek for it. Just like people out in the world, they work in and toiling day and night for more wealth and money and treasures, earthly things that will pass away. Houses and lands and businesses and bank accounts and all these things. But if you'll seek for wisdom, the fear of God, the reverence and respect and honor and worship and devotion and submission and obedience to God, seek for that, you'll find something worth more than all the world. Fear of God is wisdom. And understanding to depart from evil. There's another scripture. I'll probably get on to it. It's all up in these first few chapters of Proverbs. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. That's something that we should get an understanding of, is to discern from evil and sin and wickedness in this world, that this world is full of it. Pride, lust, evil desires, hatred, revenge, bitterness, wrath, all of these, dishonesty, corruption, lies, all these things are in the world today. And we've got to deny those things. We've got to give them up. The old television is full of it. The internet is full of it. The newspapers are full of it. We've got it all around us. We've got to deny this world. This world is headed for eternal damnation. The scripture says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, the Heavenly Father, is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the appetites and desires of the body, uncontrolled and undisciplined and held in by the fear of God. That's lust. The lust of the flesh. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretty things, the pretty styles and fads, the pretty nakedness that people are exhibiting in the world in their bodies. That's the lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh Lord, help us today. This is really wonderful. Verse 6 now of chapter 2. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. There's something about the word understanding I'd like to bring out that in our studies about what understanding is. I like to weigh the meaning of these words by looking them up. If you have a Strong's Concordance, that is a very valuable book to have. Every home ought to have one. I've got two or three of them. I have one at the chapel. I have one down in our lower room where we have our library. And I have one up by my recliner chair. Strong's Concordance. It has all the words in the Bible and what they mean in the language they're translated from. The Old Testament is translated from the Hebrew. The New Testament is translated from the Greek. In the Old Testament, the word understanding, let me tell you what it means. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for understanding means to separate, to distinguish. You know, everything you do in life, you need to have a little bit of idea of what it's made of. It's elements. You know, you know somebody, a young man that falls in love with a young woman. He'd better look for something more than just the outward appearance. He better study a little bit about the character, her ways, her attitudes, the various different parts of her makeup, her likes, her dislikes, her reactions. You know, you need to be aware of what you're getting into. To distinguish a man that is working on a car and a mechanic, he needs to know every detail of that engine. What it's for, what it does, and how to work on it. That's right. That's what you call, you know, you're distinguishing everything. You know what everything's about. If you're going to be a seamstress, you need to know the details about that machine and what it does and how to apply the cloth, and you need to know that. I had a very wonderful dear brother in the Lord to me that I got acquainted with when I was a young fella. His name was Donald Eck. Some of you might have known him. He was one of the best mechanics that I ever knew. He knew how to work on cars and fix them. That was not his main vocation, but he knew how to do it. He was a farmer. He was a dairyman in Kansas, and we moved over there to, I took a job working with him in his dairy, milking cows. In 1971 and 72, we lived there, and we helped with the work in Coffeyville, the congregation, and anyway, I milked cows for him. But while we were there, I had trouble with my car. I had a 66 Ford, And those 66 Ford galaxies with those big 390 cubic inch engines, they had trouble of burnt valves. Of course, a lot of you don't know what a burnt valve is, but that's part of the engine. And it would burn valves. And so Brother Donald, he recognized, he could tell, just hearing my engine run. He knew what it was. He said, "You've got burnt valves." He said, "Leslie," he said, "I want to work on your engine. I want to work on your car." Well, I was glad to have him do it because I knew he was a top-grade mechanic. And he was doing it on his own time. He didn't charge me a dime. He did it for me. You know what he did? He took my engine of that car with the transmission and took it out of the car, where it was in the car. He took it all apart. I mean, he took it every piece apart, every detail. He took it apart. Took the pistons out, the valves out, the crankshaft out. I mean, he took it all apart. And I would see it. He had it all strung out on an old flatbed pickup truck that he had. And I'd go by. I wasn't worried about that one bit. Because I knew he knew what he was doing. A neighbor came over one day and beheld what was going on. And he went off and told his wife, he said, "I don't know how in the world that man's going to get that motor all back together. It's all apart. It's just all strung out on. I don't see how in the world he's going to get it back together." I didn't have any problem. I knew he would know. Because he had understanding and knowledge of the whole thing. Every individual part. And I never will forget the day when I was running the milking machines and milking the cows. He was out there, and I had to go out, had to slip out and go ask him about something. And he was out there. He had got the engine back together, everything back in, and he was trying to get it started. And when I got through, I talked to him about, I can't remember what it was, but anyway, talked to him. Then I went back to finish my job. And when I got back, he had that car running. He said, "Come on, let's take a ride." Understanding is separating, distinguishing all things. What are some of the things you need to have an understanding about? You need to have an understanding about what salvation is. What sin is. You need to know what righteousness is. You need to know what kind of God we serve. You need to know what His will is. What He wants you to do. You need to know what He's done for you to save you from sin. You need to know what His law teaches. What kind of law? You need to know His nature, His ways, His mercy, His love, His kindness, His help, His strength, His power. And you can look all around you and you can see things about God. Understanding is distinguishing the details and the single things of life. Now, the Greek word in the New Testament for understanding is putting everything together. Now you need to do that too. You need to know how, learn how to live and conduct yourself as a Christian should. Faith, humility, meekness, purity, holiness, courage, decision, patience, godliness. You need to know all about, learn about those things. That's understanding. We find in 2 Peter 1, it says, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on down and says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. See, now he's singling out some things. He starts with faith. You have obtained this like precious faith with us. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. Get it, read it. It's wonderful. Add to your faith virtue. Well, you've got to know what virtue is. Well, here's, you search out and find out what is virtue. This kind of virtue here is manliness and valor and fortitude. That's what virtue is. In other words, you be a man about your faith. You don't be wishy-washy and up and down and in and out and undetermined. No, to have faith, you've got to be a man. You've got to be strong. You've got to be a good warrior. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, see? Add to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is defined in that place as knowledge, science. You know what science is? How many of you have had science in school? Science. What is science? It's the study of everything. And add to your faith virtue, and to virtue add knowledge. Be willing to learn and be taught. If you've got your own ideas about everything, you're not going to listen to anybody or anything. You're not going to make it. You've got to be open-minded. You've got to be teachable. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. Whoop! You know what temperance is? Well, you just don't drink. You know, some people say, well, just don't drink any whiskey. There's more to it than that. Temperance is self-control. That's what temperance is. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. Temperance is self-control. What do you have to control? He says add to that. And the Greek word for add is super add. In other words, add it abundantly. What is the control? What controls do we have to have? What do you have to control? There's one of them right there. You got to learn how to control your tongue. What's another one? You need to know how to control your appetites. You need to control where your eyes are looking. You need to control what you're listening at. Control. That's temperance. Add that to your knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. to temperance, patience. What is patience? Need to know these things. Patience is endurance. That's another main word for patience, is endurance. Be able to endure and go through and bear anything that comes along. Keep the right attitude. Keep yourself in the right order, in the right attitude and thought. That's patience. And to patience, godliness. Add to patience, godliness. Godliness is very earnest, fervent reverence for God. That's what godliness is. Add that. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. You've got to have brotherly kindness. If you're going to be godly, you've got to know how to bear and forbear and help others. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, add charity, which is divine love, godly love. For he said, if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was once purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got to have these things. You've got to work at it. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to put them all together. You need to know what they are, segregate. Understand what each article is, and then you know how to put them together. How are we going to do this? You've got to seek for it. You've got to seek for it with all your heart. Let's look in chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. This is God talking to us. It's Solomon talking like he's talking to his son, but we need to take it as God is talking to us. You to be children and sons and daughters of God. I think about a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It speaks about how we should deny these things and the world and everything. Let me get that. That is such a good 2 Corinthians 6. And be not unequally yoked together, verse 14, with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord with Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We've got to separate ourselves from everything that is displeasing in the sight of God. We must do that. And I'll be a father, as says, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then the next verse, chapter 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You want to be successful in the Christian life? This is what we've got to work at. It's a vocation that you need to really be diligent about. To be a real child of God, you've got to study the precious word. You've got to pray and seek the Lord. Lord, help us today. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Memorize it. Learn it. Get it in your mind. Study it. You'll never be successful in the Christian life if you don't really seek earnestly and study the Word. And when you come to a meeting like this and the preacher gets up, if you're going to progress, you got to listen carefully, attentively. I remember how it was when I first got saved. It used to be when I was unsaved, coming up as a wild young boy that was always wanting to do my own thing, the best part of the preacher's message was when he closed the Bible. That was the best part of the message. Why? Because I knew he just about through. But I had to change that time of deal when after I got saved. I went to service with, I got a Bible and I followed the preacher. I listened to what he said. I went to Monarch Springs camp meeting that first summer after I got saved. And I really was listening to those messages. I'll never forget a message I heard from Brother Isaac Chandler that went from California. He preached a message about how much salvation cost. The cost of salvation. And I'll tell you, he brought out, it was so, it just brought out so wonderful about what Jesus suffered and died for us. I wept. I remember I wept. I had never wept in a message before. But I remember that day, it touched me. I was listening to it. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck and write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't just have your own ideas about it. That's what's wrong with many people today. They have ideas about things that's not what it ought to be. It's just their own ideas. You want to listen and let God impart His ideas to you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think yourself so wise and smart and, oh, I know what's going on. You don't need to tell me anything. That's a wrong attitude. It's wrong. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's very important. That's vital. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thine increase, by thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of gold, silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. And all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge, what he's talking about. Seeking for these things. Searching. Praying, opening your heart and your mind, realizing, Lord, I need to be taught by Thee. I need to be taught of God. Her ways are ways, verse 17, ways of pleasantness, all her paths of peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. And by knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. There we have the three things. By wisdom the Lord founded the earth. He established, he put the earth in its orbit and in its substance with the waters back out and the dry land and the trees and the grass. It was by his wisdom that he did this. It's all held together by his authoritative wisdom. That's right, right now. That all the substance. I have heard that these scientists, they study the atoms and the constitution of things, and they say that in the atoms there are things that ought to just separate and come apart, but said there's a strange power that's holding everything together. They recognize that. There's a strange power. It ought to just be coming apart because some atoms have several minus and plus things in it, and those things work against each other, but yet he said, they say there's a strange power that's holding everything together. It's God's wisdom. It's God's power. And by his understanding, he established the heavens, the stars, the solar system. You know what the solar system is? Man has studied and found out Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Those are what they call the solar system. And they've searched them. They've got telescopes. They can look at them. And where is the sun? How did it come? God put the sun in its orbit. I tell you, that's one thing I look at and my heart just overwhelmed me. Lord, thank you for that sun. God created it. And then the moon. The moon has its orbit, doesn't it? The moon has its changes. It makes the month. We've got the moon now. It's in the afternoon. It's in the eastern sky. It's about half full. Oh, dear ones. Lord, help us. Oh, God, help us, Lord. I wanted to read some more. Another, I think it's Proverbs 25. Let me see here. No. Well, I'll just tell you what it says. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Oh, yeah, it's 24. 24 and 3 and 4. Through wisdom is a house builded. By understanding it is established. Through wisdom, the fear of God, your experience is built and established in your heart. And by understanding, it is strengthened and established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all present and pleasant riches. That's your experience. You start out with God. And he establishes you. He strengthens you. He helps you. And then by understanding, as you learn and as you're opening up of your understanding, you learn what it's all about. And that establishes, it strengthens, it settles you. And by knowledge, then you begin to learn and the scriptures begin to unfold. I want to notice Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul there writing to Ephesians. I want to notice what he said. He ceases not to give thanks for them in verse 16, making mention of them in his prayers. And then he says in verse 17, this is what he's praying for these people. This is what we need today. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Revelation means it's opening up to you, understanding, revealed. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. You know, I tell you what, when that opens up to you, when you realize what a wonderful hope there is in living for God, it establishes, it strengthens you. You know that there's something better than this old wicked world. There's something beyond. We sang about it tonight, didn't we? Out on the hills of that wonderful country. Happy, contented, and free. Loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Can you say that from the deep of your heart? I remember I had a visitation of that one day. Several years ago when I was working on my Bible lessons over here at the Lord's print shop. And while I was working there at the computer and trying to get the Bible lessons lined out, I felt the need of prayer. So I got down on my knees and I began to pray and seek the Lord. And somehow in my prayer, I got carried away in the Spirit. And what it was, I was flying in toward heaven. I was almost there. And it was real. It was just like it was happening to me. But I was on my knees in prayer. And I remember coming, I was flying. Like an angel, I was flying in, and I looked down, and I saw it was crowded with people. And they were all looking up, watching me, coming in. And I swung around, and I come on down, and I landed, and I'll tell you, they were taking me, and it was just overwhelming. I was weeping for joy in my mind. It was just so wonderful. And I woke up. I come to. I was on my knees. I never forgot that. Dear ones, if we'll live for the Lord, if we'll go all the way with Him, He's got wonderful things to reveal to you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you will know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Saints are the richest people in the world, holy people. They're the richest people in the world. They may be not so much, most of the time they're not so much in this old financial mess. And I mean, it's a mess. This whole money system is so out of line and all gone out of. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't care. It's all going to perish. Let our president do what he wants to do and all that. I've got my hope set on heavenly things. It's all going to perish. Lord, help us today. One more scripture and then I'm going to let you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, may the Lord help us. Paul here speaking to the brethren. He says in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. No, you don't want to get after the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. The real wisdom of God is a mystery to the carnal minded and the earthly minded and the fleshly minded. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If those people that had Christ crucified and condemned Him, if they had the true wisdom of God, they wouldn't have done what they did. But they didn't know it. That none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, now he's going to quote from Isaiah 63 or somewhere back in Isaiah. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. He's quoting from Isaiah. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in man? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, may the Lord help us. Seek for wisdom, understanding, spiritual understanding. There's another place that speaks about wisdom and spiritual understanding. Seek for those things. Pray. Call upon. Take time to pray. You can't be a real successful Christian if you don't take time for personal, private prayer. You've got to do it. And let me tell you something. If you will seek the Lord in that way, in personal, private prayer, earnestly, every day, and not just once a day, you need to learn how to live a constant prayer life, just constantly communicating. If you will do that, then you can gain understanding. Things will open up to you. Open up to your mind. And it's a school that you don't graduate from while in this life. No. Don't ever get to think, well, I know it all. I know everything I need to know. No, you don't. You know, one place it says, if a man thinks he knows anything, he don't know anything like he ought to know. That's right. You always realize, Lord, I need you. I need you to guide me and help me. Teach me your way. Reveal to me your truth. Reveal the kingdom of God to me. Reveal holiness to me. Reveal the church of God to me. Reveal the Christian life to me. Reveal humility. Reveal faith. We've got lots of it in the Bible that tells about faith. You can have it, but you got to seek for it. May the Lord help us, as ever. Thank you for your time and your attention.